Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Much of the congregation will know me as Jamie Treadwell, the missionary artist. I've been a part of St. John's for several years now. It's my home when I'm visiting Aples, often on my art projects. I've often begun my sermons with one of my paintings and using that as a takeoff point. Today I talked with Father Joe and asked that we actually start with the lighting of the Advent candle. Today being the first day of Advent, but also quite appropriate, because I'm coming to you today also with a very special message. And that message is really an update from our community, a kind of a sister community in Aleppo, Syria. St. John's, a year ago, decided to come alongside that community and support them in prayer and significant financial giving, essentially sponsoring their mission for this past year. And I want to bring you an update really from them. I've been talking with them over the last few weeks in particular. And we've written up a report for you that we'll make available later. So today I'm just going to pick out a few of the highlights. But I also wanted to speak into that message in the context of Advent. And I think, as you'll see today in my words, that it's very appropriate that we turn our attention today at the beginning of the church calendar to the last things. To the Lord himself and God's work in the world today. So as we begin, I want to start with two stories. The first story is the story of a young couple, again, from the Emmanuel community in Syria. This autumn, the woman is now pregnant and preparing to give birth. And they realize that they do not have the medical care within Syria at this time, within Aleppo, to care for her. They're looking, there could be complications at her birth. They need to get out of the city. They're able to get out and go to one of the villages in the mountains where it's safe and she's able to receive her care. She gives birth to a healthy child. And now they face another very serious decision. Because the husband is offered a job now in the city in a safe area. And they realize that they could now begin their new life there. They thought about it and they prayed about it. And they realized that they were not at peace in that place, and they felt like they needed to get back to Aleppo. So they pack up and they return back to Aleppo. The reason they gave was that they said, we don't want to miss out on this missionary opportunity that God has called us into. Wow. At the same time, this autumn, one of the leaders in our community, a man and woman leaders of the community, have a daughter giving birth as well. She's outside of Aleppo. They go to visit her. And the father then, after a week, says, I need to get back to Aleppo. So he gets back at his first opportunity once the road's open. They're not always open. And as he got back to the community, he reported just being received and experiencing just tears of joy come to his own eyes. Tears of joy to return to what really could be one of the most difficult places on earth today. Aleppo, think about World War II and cities that are leveled. A large city, mainly in ruins. A war that continues on, day after day. Because of the various factions, that's the battleground. It continues. A place of famine. A place where you're going back to join the people who are being hunted to extinction. And also be in a place where you can feel forgotten by the rest of the world, living your little heroic struggle. Yet you go back to that place with tears of joy. Now that blows my mind. I think of that as my mom at Thanksgiving. You know, the family comes back, tears of joy. That makes sense. But what is going on here? One of the things that struck me is that we're seeing these scriptures come alive. Let's turn our attention again to 1 Thessalonians, our reading from this morning. Quite a striking passage in this context. Just those first two lines. Here's Paul writing. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy that we feel before our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you face to face, and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. You see, Paul's love for his people. How can we thank God enough for you? Return for the joy that we feel. Our desire is to see you face to face. Yet the context of Paul's writing, he's writing to a church in persecution. He himself is in prison. The people at that time are being hunted. The joy of the Lord being united with the people of God. It's a beautiful picture, again, of the church. And we're seeing this being lived out. As I've been talking with, as I've been talking through our contact with a community in Syria, I'm asking the question of what is actually going on in their mind? What is this mindset that allows them to touch so deeply this joy and this faith in the Lord? And again, I'm drawn to our second passage today. They're living out these Advent passages. I think they would point to this passage in Luke 21 as well. Luke 21, there's a passage here I'll just highlight. It's verse 28. It's right in the middle of our paragraph. It says this. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Now, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. And he says, when these things begin to take place, what's he referring to? He's actually not referring to when things really start going good, then get up, then stand up, because it's good to be a Christian. He's talking about very difficult times. He's talking about times of real devastation. Now, those of us who are University of Michigan fans can relate to that. Things are pretty difficult. But you know, Jesus is talking about more than that, isn't he? And the passage today is quite a sobering passage on a beautiful day in Naples. In this passage, even before our readings here, Jesus talks about nations will rise against nation, kingdoms against kingdom. Where will there be love found on the earth? He talks about nature itself seems to be turning upside down. Times will be very difficult. And he says, when these things begin to take place, when it looks absolutely horrible, that's when you stand up and you lift your heads. Wow. And why is that? Because he said, because then you know your redemption is drawing near. Jesus says, then you know that God is present. Redemption, bringing back that which was lost, buying back to yourself that which was otherwise lost. Jesus says, it's about the time when God is revealing himself. Your redemption is drawing near. Stand up. Take courage. That is the time God has called us to be a light in the darkness. That's the time when God's love shines so brightly. For anybody who doesn't know the Lord, that makes no sense. That's the foolish thinking. And yet what we're seeing right now in Aleppo is young couples saying, we want to get back in the middle of that darkness because that's when our light shines so brightly. We're seeing a grandfather who could stay away who says, I need to be back with my people because this is a time of God's visitation. And what they're seeing is something happening on the grassroots level that's quite profound. And I'm going to tell you some of those stories in a moment. These are the things that the news doesn't touch. Who knows why not? I'm sure there's reasons. But this is a story that we're hearing from the ground. It says, you know what? God is present right here, right now. We're part of a much bigger story, and that's the Advent story. Jesus tells us the same thing that Stephen Covey tells business leaders. Begin with the end in mind. Begin with the end in mind. The beginning of Advent, we begin with the end in mind. We begin knowing that Jesus will come again. There is a time of judgment. There's a time when God's people will lift up and raise their heads. And when we're dead, and that's not a bad thing. When we go face to face before the Lord, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Because if we're a part of a story that maybe we don't understand, it's a mystery of love. How does love shine in that darkness? And now we'll shift over and just read you some of the things that they that the community in Syria wrote to us. They began their readings quoting from 1 Peter 4. It said this, so then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. I write on the anniversary of your diligent financial help to Emmanuel in Aleppo. It's referring to the anniversary of St. John's financial help. Thank you for your prayers and generous support. Your help continues to make a big difference and is needed more than ever. The situation in Aleppo continues to be extremely challenging and is getting more complicated as time goes by. I'll just highlight here that about a year ago, Aleppo was a relatively isolated situation, a difficult place in the world, one of the countries at war, and we decided to go and support a little group of people. Since then, I would suggest that things have changed considerably. I'd say Europe has changed and will never be the same. Over the last few months, the tidal wave of refugees coming in and through Europe has changed Europe. I was over in London up until the 7th of October, and it's noticeably on people's minds and hearts, and the reality is around you. It's changed. It's getting complicated. The other thing that's happening is that as ISIS gains control of the territories, what they focus on is the organizational support. They're the ones building schools now. They're the ones giving out food. They're the ones distributing water. They are seen as the saviors for the local people. That's how they want to be seen. And what they're able to do now is use propaganda. It's a big propaganda war. The West is seen as the one who are the bad guys. They're the ones bombing and destroying. They're the ones who are kicking out refugees and forcing them out into wet fields. And they're the ones saying, come back home. Come back home and we'll provide you with food, with water, with schools. It's getting very complicated. And that's partly why our community is saying we need Christians in the mix, saying we are the people to come to, because Jesus Christ is the one to come to. We are the ones who are staying present here. And I want to tell you more about what's happening as they do that. So Emmanuel, a small community made up of about 85 members, but from different denominations. So how do they understand the situation they are in? This is interesting. The members promptly answer that their fight is of a spiritual nature and that it is of great importance in the balance of things. For them, what is at stake is the future of the Christian presence in the Levant countries, Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, Palestine, Iraq. Now, embracing the call to be missionaries, they are spreading the truth of the gospel to people around them with more fervor and zeal than during times of peace. They are investing in the kingdom. They share the good news, and people are responding and committing themselves to Christ, sometimes instantly. But not only do they remain in the city, but they encourage others to do so. They are steadily growing. They are currently running a Christian formation course for 30 people interested in joining their call as an intentional community. So I asked a dozen or so members, what are the things that inspire you to stay? And here are just three, summarize their responses into three areas. One is simply, how could we leave at such an important time? Joining with others and reaching out with the gospel to others, and satisfaction that they were heeding the call of Christ. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They have a strong sense of purpose. The second reason they give is Christian fellowship. The relationships together as the body of Christ, and how deep that goes. They draw daily strength, consolation, support from others. They experience the reality of being the body of Christ to look out for one another. What a beautiful thing to be said about St. John's, about any body of Christ. The level of support, of relationship, they look out for each other. The third reason they give for staying, simply the close walk with God. They experience joy and peace, even in the midst of conflict and war, trusting confidently in the guidance that comes from God. They talk about the difficult times when they learn how to rely on God, and they experience the grace and peace and joy of the Lord in their lives. So why do they urgently need this support? They say the main thing is simply for daily sustenance for Christians to stay. In that sense, it's not glamorous. But there's no work, there's no economy. There's a little bit of work actually through the government for some of them. But the main thing they need the support for is simply to be stay and present and be the people of God in the midst of that situation. One of the archbishops in Homs reports that the greatest worry is simply finding housing for the people who are deciding to stay, and that the way to look out for them with food and water. We asked about what's the context of St. John's support? Are other peoples involved in this network? St. John's is supporting Aleppo through the People of God community in Lebanon. That community is quite a large community with about 700 members. But that group is supporting 40 different prayer groups and small communities around the Middle East. So it's quite a broad network, and Aleppo is just one of those. So it's quite a broad network. But outside of that, they have mentioned that there's very little other support for people who are actually staying in these countries. So St. John's is playing a very key role in allowing this to be supported. Well, how is Emmanuel responding daily? What's the vision that guides them? Here's what they wrote. Well, no doubt Aleppo is a city with much suffering, but living in it presents a rare opportunity for daily heroic witness. Members have a contagious capacity to impart joy to those who ordinarily expect to see them downcast and pessimistic. This hopeful joy remains with them even while embracing their daily cross. And this is a backdrop of Emmanuel's witness in Aleppo. Compelled by the love of God, they are reaching out to others the same way that they have experienced it. To that aim, they are currently giving a 7-week course to 30 potential members to lead them into further Christian commitment and discipleship. So my correspondent says this. He says, are they heroes, light, leaven, and salt? Yes, and all these things and more. However, they are fully aware that in doing so, they are participating in what has become the experience of Christians in the Middle East for centuries. Faith never came easy. Persecutions were plentiful. Governments that were supposed to protect citizens turned against them. Regularly devised coercive plans to either convert them or exterminate them. Genocides were carried out during World War I and before, and not just against the Armenian people living in Turkey. They're used to difficulty, and they know that's part of their call. Well, I will end here with just something that the leader wrote to us. This is really probably directly to St. John's. He says this, Aleppo has changed a lot in the last 3 years. No real statistics exist, but the number of those who left is staggeringly high. I have seen a building of 10 apartments emptied completely, but for one family that decided not to leave. Our churches stand by us in Emmanuel. Clergy will sometimes join us for prayer and retreats. They are proud of us and openly express joy at what we're doing. However, they are stretched thin between the ministry and the tremendous needs they have to meet. Many wealthy benefactors who used to contribute to movements or churches had to leave the city out of fear for their own lives, thus leaving behind them a real crisis, dried up of resources for everyone. There is no one contributing financially to us at the present moment, other than the help we are getting through our brothers and sisters in the People of God Lebanon, and through that, through St. John's Episcopal Church in Florida. And for that, we are deeply grateful. So even with close family and friends, members are looked upon as foolhardy or even crazy when they remain in the city. They have made drastic decisions in order to respond, and extraordinary new courage and boldness have been given to them. Our faith is anchored in a clear trust in God's provision and care. And that faith has brought a willingness to sacrifice. It's quite strong. Striking to me that as Jesus talks about these end times, he says there's two things to avoid. He says, don't fall asleep. We saw that in the passage today as well. Be alert. When times are difficult, don't fall asleep. That is a time to be awake, to be attentive, to be active. I'm very encouraged by St. John's in that this is an awakened church. You take initiative. You have taken initiative. This is a place where faith is explored and kindled. An awake church. The second thing Jesus warns about is don't be anxious. Don't be fearful. That might be more of a challenge for us in these times. Yeah? Striking note, Jesus says, don't be anxious. What does he say? He says, in those times, stand up. Lift up your head. Know that God is with you. In ways that we don't understand, God is with you here in Naples. What you're doing here in St. John's is of eternal significance in your relationships, in your friendships, in your faith here. But you've also now begun to extend your arm to something quite significant in history today. This little group of Christians over in Aleppo. Because they are being a witness now far beyond what we can imagine. It's interesting, they do talk about even Muslims themselves. They can't talk to Muslims about their faith in public, but in private many come to them. Say, tell me about Jesus Christ. How can you be joyful in this situation? How can you be hopeful in this situation? It's because God is with us. Tell us about Jesus Christ. May we be those men and women here who live in the light of Advent, the light of Christ. And that is our courage. We stand up and lift our eyes, lift our heads, lift our hearts. Amen.